Lord, we thank you for your tremendous mercy. We thank you, God, that your arm is not slack, Lord. You reach out through people, Lord. You extend yourself to the lowliest ones, Lord, to those that maybe have been forgotten, even by family, Lord. We thank you, God, for your mercy today and your grace. We thank you for Judith, that she's with you today. She's dancing on streets of gold. She's in the arms of her Savior, Lord. We thank you so much, God, for all the other lives that are being touched in that place and in the streets around here, Lord, and in our families, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing, God. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to be your hands and feet, to be your mouth, to proclaim who you are, Lord, in this world. God, we thank you today, Jesus, for who you are, that you came, that you revealed yourself, Lord, and that you've given us the Holy Spirit, Lord, and that we really do have good news to share with the hopeless, Lord. We thank you, God, for the message of the gospel that is the power of God. And Lord, I pray as we look at your word today, I pray as we learn, as we listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to us, Lord, we would be encouraged to go, to share the gospel, to share the light that's been given to us, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone here in need, I pray they will see a great God. I pray, Lord, they will see a God who sees their need and who is able to meet their need. Because there's nothing too hard for you, Lord. You are the God of the impossible. There's no one, Lord, that you cannot reach. There's no situation, no problem, no disease that is too hard for you, Lord. And we just thank you today, Lord. And we pray that you will be glorified as we look at your word this morning. God, help me to convey what you want to convey this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I do want to remind us to keep Phyllis in our prayers, who's home recovering from surgery. Gary, who's here recovering from surgery. And there's others at home that are sick today and others traveling. Just pray that God will just keep his hand upon them this morning. Okay, we are going to be in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And I think I'm going to go ahead and just read this story of a man named Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5. This is the last time you will see me putting these little glasses on and off and on and off. I finally humbled myself and ordered real glasses that I need. All right. God is humbling his people. He's in the process of humbling his people, and I had to finally humble myself and say, all right, I need glasses. It's time. All right. Verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes. He said, am I God to kill and make alive?
that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please, let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with all of his horses, his chariot. He stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me. He will stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and he will wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away, and he went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more when he just says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down, he dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and he came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. Amazing story that we have before us. Amazing things we can learn from this man Naaman and from the servants who kind of helped him out. And this message, I believe, this morning is going to speak to 2 crowds this morning. It's going to speak to the lepers, those with leprosy, those who are maybe still in a great need of healing, but also to those who are like these servants who have encountered this God, who know what this God can do, and who God wants to use to help people like Naaman. And I'm going to call my message this morning, 7 Dips Down. 7 Dips Down. So let's go back to verse 1. I do want to acknowledge this morning our newest member, Gabriel. Where is he in there? Because he's got that skin he has. I was thinking about it when I was reading. That's what this man's flesh was restored to. And you got to say, his flesh was rotting. And it was restored, just like Gabriel back there. So make sure you say hi to Gabriel. He's about 3 weeks old. Yeah. What a nice atmosphere for him to be in this morning. All right, so let's look at this man Naaman, first of all, in verse 1. It says he was a commander in the army of the king of Syria. He was an honorable man in the eyes of his master because the Lord had given him victory to Syria. It says he was also a mighty man of valor. But then it says he was a leper. And leprosy really in those days was a death sentence, but it was also, especially in the land of Israel, you were just an outcast. You couldn't even be around people. And it so affected your body that you literally rotted on the outside and lost limbs, was disfigured. Now, because he was in Syria, he still had some honor before the people, but he still had a problem. He was still dying. He had this horrific disease. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen a leper in real life. I have in the Middle East, where you can still have some rare cases. And I'll never forget this woman I saw who had leprosy, who had no face left, just one eye. It was just nothing, blank. And you realize this is a person, this is a human being, so deformed. It was a horrible, horrible disease. And God uses that sometimes to draw us to Him. Sometimes it has to get that bad for some people. And I'm not talking about getting leprosy, but what I'm talking about is we all, in a sense, are lepers. We're born lepers. We have an incurable disease. We're born sinners. And it rots us from the core. It produces death. There's no cure for it. There's nowhere we can go for the cure except one place. And many of us have found that cure, haven't we? And God uses this to humble us, to help us to see our need. And I'm sure this man understood his need, but he still was lacking something. And he needed to go through some things before he actually got his healing. And we're kind of like that. Because sometimes in our own minds, in our own eyes, we are someone important. We want esteem in the world's eyes. We want to be looked upon in a certain way. And you know, the Word of God talks about the type of person that God is drawn to. First of all, a person in need, but also those who are humble, those who understand they have a need. And you see a picture of this in the Gospels where people that didn't understand their leprosy, Jesus couldn't really help them out because they didn't understand how much they needed him. They relied on their religion, a lot of them. They relied on other things, and they didn't understand their condition, but there were those that did. And Jesus would run into them, even in crowds. They would get his attention. They were the beggars. They were the blind. They were people like the woman with the issue of the flow of blood that tried everything, that came to Jesus in the reality of their need, but also humbled, contrite, and God was able to meet them where they were at and go way beyond what they even imagined he can do, because that's the kind of God we serve. So Naaman, he's not quite there yet. I mean, he has the condition, but his heart is not where it needs to be yet. So he has to go through God's school of humbling and coming down. Now it says in verse 2 that the Syrians had gone out on raids and they brought back a young girl from the land of Israel. And she was actually waiting on this mighty man's wife. She was serving in the home. She was a slave to this family. And she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." In other words, she knew who God was. She saw what God was working through this man, Elisha. And if you read about Elisha, God worked through this man mightily. God was displaying to the children of Israel who he was through this mighty prophet. But we understand it wasn't the prophet that was going to heal him. He was just a vessel. There was a God in Israel working through this prophet, just like God was working in and through Jesus, because he was God when he was here in the flesh. Now, for those of us who have encountered this God, for those of us who were the leper, who were healed, I'm one of those, I know there's many here, we understand who this God is. And whether you realize it or not, God has strategically placed you, just like he strategically placed Franny in that nursing home and many others. In your jobs, in family situations, wherever it might be, you are strategically placed by God to tell the lepers, to tell the hopeless, to tell people that have maybe tried everything about this God in Israel, who's able to do amazing things. If only I could get you to him, if only I can bring you to Jesus, he would help you. He would give you hope where you're feeling hopeless. He will set you free by the things that have controlled and ruined your life. He will give you the peace you're looking for. He will give you a living hope that understands you were created for something so much more than this life in this world. He will open your eyes so you can see. There's so many out there that need to know there is a God in Israel. There is a God in Dry Ridge, Kentucky. Amen. And he's real. And God has placed us, his body, out there in different places to tell people about this great and awesome God. And we need to point people to him. Not to a man, not to a place, but to him. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 17 and 18. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. In other words, it's not from me. It's not from my own natural reason mind. What I'm telling you is from God. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We know this. This is real to us. We have this message burning, as it were, in our hearts. We've been given a calling to go and make disciples, to go and tell people about Jesus. And the message we have is the power of God. There is no greater power or solution to man's problems anywhere. And Paul says later on in 2 Corinthians 2:4, my speech, my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's what this guy Elisha operated in. That's what we operate in if we are truly born again, sanctified, set apart believers, bought with a price, vessels of God that have been filled with the Holy Spirit. God has enabled us, equipped us to go in that same power to proclaim that message to the lepers. And he does it so people's faith will not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And Paul says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And then I love this in 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29. It says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world. And we're going to see God uses these lowly servants to carry out his will for this man who's in a great need. Because God uses the foolish things to put to shame the wise. God chooses the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. The things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know why God uses you? So people will know it was God. That's why he uses me. So people will know it was God. Because people need to know there's a God in Israel. Not a person, not a place, a God. A God who's able to do more and abundantly and above and beyond what we can ask or think. And we need to lift him up. We need to exalt him in everything we do. God chooses this servant girl. And as we will see, another or a couple of other servants to help this proud man receive what he needs. So let's look at three things that needed to happen. Three things. Number one, put away your own preconceived ideas of how you think God is going to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. Okay? 2 Kings 5, verses 10, it says, Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go, wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean. He becomes furious at this. And he went away, he said, indeed, I said to myself, he'll surely come out to me. He'll surely call on the name of this God and wave his hand over the place. Aren't we that way sometimes? We want God to do it our way, don't we? But God doesn't always do it our way. And we need to be open to what God wants to do. He's expecting Elisha to come. Doesn't he know who I am? No, he sends a servant, this little servant girl, to greet him and to tell him what he needs to do. And it's interesting, in verses 11 and 12, we see what he's thinking. Again, he says, I said to myself, he's thinking this. He's going to come out. He's going to stand. He's going to call in the name of his God. He's going to wave his hand over the place. He's going to heal the leprosy. And then he talks about the rivers in Damascus. And there, you got to understand, there was something to what he was saying. The Jordan River is nasty. We've been to Israel. It was muddy. It's not like, it doesn't look clean. The rivers in Damascus are nice, much nicer. So he's thinking, you know, why can't I just go back to where my country is, where the rivers are cleaner? You know, I can see the bottom. It's not all mucky and muddy. Why do I have to dunk in this gross river? I had someone ask me to baptize him in the creeks around here. I was like, are you kidding me? Just made me think of that. I don't know about that one. But we do this with God sometimes. We imagine some awesome spiritual experience, right? Kind of like Acts 9, verses 3 through 6, you know, if God would just do to me what he did to Paul, you know, a light shine and knock me down and, you know, hear a voice, you know, if that would just happen, then I would do what God's telling me to do. Or, you know, a literal heavens opening, like we see in Exodus 19:16, where God descends on a mountain and it's quaking and there's thundering and lightning and there's trumpets sounding and the people are quaking. Man, if I saw that, I'd be all in. Man, whatever God said, I'd do. Right? Or then we do the other way is just, I'm going to do some religious gymnastics. Like Isaiah 58, you know, where the people are afflicting their souls and doing all these things. You see, God, you see what I'm doing? Now you do what you're supposed to do. And God looks and says, that's not what I'm after. Sometimes we have these big, grandiose ideas of how we feel God should do things. And he's like, just go dip 7 times in the river. But can I do this or that? Or biblical counseling and the Word of God a lot of times is very practical and simple. And I think almost sometimes it's too simple. Like, I've had people tell me, I knew you were going to say that. I'm like, well, that's what the Bible says. But I don't want to do that. Yeah, but that's what God says to do. If you want healing, if you want restoration, if you want, you know, God to work in your life, this is all you got to do. Just do that. Well, God wouldn't expect me to do that. You don't understand. Okay. You know, Naaman, you know, you don't understand who I am. Do you know who I am in Syria? You think I'm going to dip in that water in front of everybody? I don't think so. He was upset. I remember 26 years ago when I arrived in Kentucky. I was a leper. My flesh was rotten off. I was in trouble spiritually. And I get driven out to this farm out in the middle of nowhere to this program. And I'm picturing in my mind, I guess the way it is now, it's nice out there now. I mean, it looks like a resort. When I went, it wasn't like that. There were holes in the walls. There was an old dilapidated trailer. Then I go into worship, and they're singing hymns. I've never even heard of him. What is this? This is dead. I feel like I've been thrown back into 1700s or something. I remember seeing this in some old movies. This is weird. This isn't how we worship in our church. I don't like this. And then I get my job. This was different. Making $5 an hour. Taking brake shoes off a thing, leaning into a basket all day for 8 hours. And it feels like my back is just going to explode. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? I used to make in an hour what I'm making here all day. And I got this lady screaming at me, come on, hurry up. You're holding up the line. And I'm thinking, do you know who I am? Do you know what I used to do in New York? And God is saying, this is good for you, Jeff. You're a very arrogant man. This is just what I ordered for you. I didn't like what God had mapped out for me. And I could have said, you know what? I don't need this. I'm out of here. And you know what? I'd be in hell right now. I'd be dead. There's no way I'd still be alive, and I know it for a fact. I'd be dead and in hell. See, that was real to me. That's what kept me there, because I knew if I don't find God here, I'm dead. If God ain't real, I'm dead. I got to just do this. It took some time, but I finally humbled myself and just started doing what they told me to do. And God did a miracle in my life. Absolutely, He did what I thought was totally impossible. I thought I'd never be free, ever. God knew what this arrogant New Yorker needed. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. God will sometimes work very practically in your life to bring about a supernatural work. This is stupid. I don't understand this. Just do what God is telling you to do. He went away in a rage. Oh, I've seen this many times in the counseling office. People just get in a rage. People will get in a rage when you share Jesus sometimes. And you got to just love them. You just got to pray for them. This is going to happen when you share the truth with people. They're going to get in a rage sometimes, but bear with it. Remember, you were that leper too. Remember the times you got mad at God and mad at people. Humility is the key. Humility is the key, people. Humility. James 1, 21 and 22 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness, all overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your soul. Humble yourself. You don't know. I don't know. But God knows. Humble yourself. Receive what God is saying to you. Despite the messenger, that's number two. Receive what God is speaking to you despite the messenger. See, everyone thinks the pastor, the elders, they're the ones that should be telling people and going and doing. No, you, we're all servants. I'm just a servant. You're just a servant. We're all just vessels. This is for all of us to do, to go and to tell people. His servant comes to him. Just imagine, just picture this. Here's this mighty man. This guy has killed probably hundreds with his bare hands, and he's furious. And here comes his servants. Master, see, you got to be willing to do that out there. You understand, I'm talking to two people here. I'm talking to us in one way and in another way. You getting that? I'm not losing you, right? We're the leper, but we're also the messenger. You getting what I'm saying, right? Here he is. He's furious. Here comes this servant to confront him right in the heat of it. Talk about boldness. Talk about courage. But that's what happens when the Holy Spirit has a hold of you. You're not going to cower down. You're going to go in humility, in love, to speak the truth. Because you know, if this person doesn't respond, they're going to die. They're going to perish. So you're willing. You've counted the cost. I mean, this servant or servants understood. He could have just whacked their heads off. Like, what? Are you talking to me? Are you kidding? And just, he was furious. Father, he says, if the prophet told you to do something great, would you have not done it? Wow, he confronts him. He's basically saying, you got a lot of pride. And if he would have told you to do this, you would have did it because it would have made you look good. How much more when he just says to you, wash and be clean? Like, Naaman, what's your problem? Just humble yourself. Again, can't we be like that? Can't we be like that at times? Willing to do those outward acts of religious things that look good, yet not willing to do the weightier things like bearing one another, covering one another's sins, praying for our enemies, forgiving those that offend us. Loving your neighbor as yourself, esteeming others better than yourself. Do this and you'll be healed. Do this and you'll be healed. I've learned this from personal experience. And it was always simple, like God just showing me something and saying, just do this. You know what my word says. You need to go. You need to do this and you'll be better. How great do you see your need this morning? How great do you understand the needs of those who haven't found Christ yet? Do you understand how desperate their situation or your situation might be? Again, he could have said to this servant, who are you? You know what helped Naaman? I think he caught a whiff of his flesh because his flesh was rotting. Probably stunk, didn't it? He probably didn't smell good. No, I don't know if you've ever smelled rotting flesh. His flesh was rotting, so maybe He smelled that and was like, okay, maybe I need to listen. Jesus is speaking. He'll use whoever he wants to. Don't be picky how God speaks to you. And for some reason, when I was going over this morning, I wrote in there, especially your spouse. Especially. Because that's the least one we want to hear it from. Why is that? Because they're the closest to us. Yeah. I've learned to listen. She's not always right, but she's right a lot. And I know God can speak through her, and God has spoken through anybody to me. I don't ever want to get to the place where anybody can't speak into my life, because God will use anybody. It's very dangerous to think we're beyond someone speaking into our lives. Very dangerous. We need to humble ourselves. It says, listen to what Matthew Henry says. I love this. When sinners come to their senses, they're content to do anything, to submit to anything, to part with anything for a cure. Then, and not until then, is there any hope for them. And again, I have seen this played out over and over and over again. And you know, you say to yourself, if they would just let go of this, or if they would just do this, I know what God can do. He's done it for me. If you would just surrender, if you would just let go of this, if you would just do this, God will heal you. God will set you free. God will do a miracle in your life. And you sit back and you watch people resisting that, and it breaks your heart. Because you know what God can do. Then they will take Christ on his terms, when they are willing to have Christ upon any terms. That's a powerful statement. And that's where we need to get to be if we truly want to be cured. Set free, made whole by God. We need to, number three, humble ourselves to the point where we start obeying what God says. It says in verse 14, he went down. He dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. How many times did he dip himself? Seven. Seven in the Bible is a number of completion. What would have happened when he got to the 6th time? He said, you know what? What am I doing? And he got mad again and went home. Think he would have got his healing? Again, just working with so many people over so many years, I've seen so many, man, and you know it. They're like right there. But it's usually hardest when you're right there. And they turn away, and you're like, no, just you're just right there. That's how God works. Because God's not so much interested in just the healing. He's wanting to do something inside of you. Amen. And all the dipping is changing you inside, whether you realize it or not. And see, that's what God is about, change. Not just making things better. He wants to change you. He wants to change you from what you are to who he is. And he does it as we obey him, as we cooperate him, as we don't grow weary in doing good. We reap from the Spirit life. That's why we're encouraged in Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary in doing good. In due season, you'll reap if you don't lose heart. And God is saying this to us. Many of God's promises, people, are conditional. Conditional, that means we have our part in it. We have to cooperate with God. Naaman got his healing because he simply did what God told him to do. He humbled himself. He was obedient. And then it says in verse 15, he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides. He came and stood before him. He said, "Now I know there is no God in all the earth except the God of Israel." And that's where God wants to bring us to personally. And that's what he wants us to proclaim out there, people. There are others, most of you, who God is calling to be that servant. Most of us in this room know what it's like to be healed. And God is saying, "I want you to go. I want you to go to the Naamans out there. I want you to start proclaiming there is nowhere else to look. I want you to start exalting and glorifying my name out there to the lost. I want you to tell people what I can do. I want you to live it out before them. I want to put things in your mouth and speak through you. I want to use your life to display my power and my glory to the Naamans out there that are literally dying, that have an incurable disease." Now, there's some of you, you're not whole yet. You need healing from some things. I'm not saying you're not born again. I'm not saying necessarily you're not saved, but you're not whole yet. There's things in your life that are holding you back because you haven't dealt with it the way God has prescribed that you deal with it. And I do believe God is bringing healing to his body, because his body needs to be healed, needs to be made whole. I think there's a lot of pride that has infiltrated the church. I think it's become about man and trusting in man and the things of this world. I think we've lost sight in some ways of who God is and what he can do. And we got, it's time to get our eyes back on him. It's time to start proclaiming him and him alone, not programs, not places, not churches, not people, methods, but Jesus. That's who Judas encountered in the nursing home. She encountered Jesus. Because I remember one thing she would keep saying. She would mention all of us, but she would basically say, "I know God is real because I've never met people like you." In other words, somehow God was coming through, and it drew her to him. And I'll never forget the day we went in and ministered to her, and we worshiped with her, and she gave her heart to the Lord, and the miraculous healing and change that came into her, to where she started telling people about Jesus in the nursing home. She became alive. That was a miracle. That's who our God is, and that's what this is all about, people. Proclaiming him. But some of us need healing first. And I want to just end this morning with this, people. There's some here today. You're Naaman. You have a great need. But you've had a hard time humbling yourself. God's been trying to speak to you in different ways through different people. And you're just having a hard time. It's almost like you're just like Naaman. You know, you got in your mind how you're going to receive it. But God is speaking to you, and maybe he's done it, you know, through someone you least like you would think he would. Maybe he did it just reading your Bible one day. You just know inside God has spoken something to you, but you're having a hard time doing it. And you're just simply prolonging the healing. That's all God wants to do. He wants to heal you. He's not about humiliating people. That's not what he's trying to do. He wasn't trying to humiliate Naaman. He was just trying to get him to the place where he can give him what he needed. That's all God wants to do. He's a giver. God's a giver. So if there's anyone here today, you know, I'm not whole. I need healing. And I know there's things I need to be doing. There's some surrender. There's things I know I need to be doing with people that God has told me to do, but I've been procrastinating. Whatever that might be, today, you can be like Naaman. You can just say, okay, Lord, I'll just do what you're telling me to do and receive your healing. And we'll pray for you. So does anyone here, that's you. Now, Naaman had to do this in front of everyone. And you just want to say this morning, that's me. And I want to just publicly say I am ready to do what God wants me to do. Okay? All right, and you can follow. That's fine. Whether it's surrendering something, whatever it might be. Don't miss your healing today. Don't miss your healing today. Don't, if God's been speaking to you about something. You just got to humble yourself. It really is that simple. Lord, I thank you for these precious souls this morning. They're just agreeing with you, Lord. They're just saying, Lord, that's me. I know I'm not whole. I know there's more for me, Lord. And I'm ready to obey you, Lord. And I pray for these men, Lord, any ladies, God, that are responding to you, Lord. I pray for the grace now to help them. Because you said you give grace to the humble. You resist the proud. You give grace to the humble, Lord. And I just pray for your grace. I pray you will empower these ones, God, to carry out, to simply do what you've spoken to them so that they might receive their healing. And I pray that their healing will come forth speedily, that you will bring restoration, Lord, that you will bring wholeness to their lives, to their minds, to their hearts, Lord. And, Lord, then I pray you'll send them just like those servants, Lord, to other lepers. Because they'll know there's a God. There is a God in heaven. And I know if I can lead you to him, you can be whole too. Lord, I pray that for these ones, Lord. You will now take their lives and use them. And God, we thank you today for their lives, for their willingness to come forth, to humble themselves today before you, Lord. And I just pray your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And for the others this morning, you're just saying, I want to be that servant. God, and I know most of you are already. Lord, I want more opportunities. Lord, I don't want to be intimidated, Lord, if a man's furious or a woman's. I don't want to cower down, Lord, if it's just a difficult situation. These people were in a difficult situation. The Holy Spirit gives you boldness. Look at Peter, the guy who ran from a girl. When he's full of the Holy Spirit, man, he's preaching boldly, knowing he's going to be persecuted. He wasn't afraid. That's the Spirit of God in you. That's the love of Christ. Perfect love casts out fear. So I'm going to pray for us, for this body this morning, because I'm blessed at how God is using all of you. I know he is. You might not see it. You might not understand it, but God's using your lives. And I just want to pray just for an increase with that as we just continue to humble ourselves and just make ourselves available and allow them to work through these vessels. So, Lord, I thank you for these examples in Scripture, these servants. In the world's eyes, they were nobodies. But, God, in your eyes, they were vessels of honor. Vessels that you were able to control and use to testify, to be witnesses, to bear witness of who you are. God, you have called us to go and to be witnesses, just to simply tell people what you've done for us, who you are, and what you can do for them, Lord. The good news, the gospel, that God died on a cross, that God took the penalty of sin, the leprosy that we all have, Lord, that you totally, totally made a way to be totally cleansed, made whole, just like that, the flesh of the child that he was restored to God. That's what you do inwardly. That's the power of the gospel. And you've given that to us, Lord. You've given us hands. You've given us feet. You've given us mouths to go and proclaim it in power. And I'm praying that, Lord, for this body. I'm praying it, God, for all those listening, God, that as we say to you, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, let me be that servant that proclaims and tells the lepers who you are, God. God, I pray you will fill them to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. I pray your anointing will be upon it. It's not just for the Elishas, Lord. You've given all of us the Holy Spirit, all of us the power to proclaim the gospel, to be witnesses, Lord, so that you could be lifted up and men could be drawn to you. So God, I pray you will take our lives. I pray, oh God, as we go forth out of this place today, we will tell people there is a God in Israel. There is a God in Grant County. And he's able to cure your leprosy. God, let that be our testimony today as we go from here. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.